Amen. I'm certainly grateful for that song, aren't you? Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. The next three Sunday mornings, I would like to talk to you about Christ and Christmas. And today, I would like to start in Genesis chapter number 3. Also, Isaiah chapter number 7. I always enjoy preaching this time of the year. And always enjoy preaching, period, but especially this time of the year when men's hearts and minds are thinking much about Christ and the arrival of God's dear Son. In Genesis chapter number 3, and verse number 15, well, we'll start at verse number 14. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Notice verse 21 as well. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse number 14. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. We find ourselves in Genesis chapter number 3. I want to speak to you this morning concerning Christmas, the announcement of a Savior. The announcement of a Savior. All of the students from the school are familiar with these first few chapters of Genesis. We've been reading them throughout the year in our opening exercises. And these are the first few hours and days of creation. I don't know what kind of picture you place in your mind for the Garden of Eden, but think just for a moment that this was God's masterpiece. Think just for a moment of paradise. What kind of place would God create and call it paradise? But it was Eden. There God placed his prized creation, Adam and Eve, in a place of absolute beauty and absolute perfection. No struggles, no sorrow, no suffering, no sin. Absolutely paradise. They were able to walk in the cool of the evening with the fellowship of Jehovah God. Everything was pristine and perfect. And all of that comes crashing down as sin enters the world. We find that in the third chapter of Genesis. Eve first and then Adam give way to the temptation, and thereby sin enters this world. And in this darkness, this canopy of darkness that envelops God's creation. Paradise is no longer perfect. Sin is now in the world. The judgment of God is pronounced, soon to fall upon the serpent, the ground, Eve, and Adam. It's a dark, dark day. We're only the third chapter into God's word, yet we're already needing a new beginning. And in the midst of that canopy of darkness, in the midst of the blackness of all of the bad news, there is a verse that begins to shine forth hope of what God's plan of redemption is going to be. It's found in Genesis 3 and 15. God promises that there is going to be the seed of a woman that is coming. And the seed of that woman, he will have his heel bruised. But in turn, he will bruise the head of the serpent. Or he will overthrow the kingdom of Satan. That is that first gospel, as the Latins call it, that proto-evangelium, the first gospel message, that there is a seed of a woman that is coming, which gives to you my first idea from this scripture, that Christ and the coming Messiah, he is unique in his origin. Notice again, the word of the Lord said that he was going to be the seed of a woman. Here nestled in the virgin territory of the beginning of Genesis, we find God's promise that Christ is going to be born of a virgin girl. We find the very beginning promises to be those that are going to be absolutely miraculous, that welcome in the coming Messiah. All down through the Old Testament, we're going to gain more and more and more knowledge. But you and I understand that God's word declares that it was always the seed of the man that carried the lineages forward. But notice, it was God that declared right here that it was not going to be the seed of a man that would overthrow the kingdom of Satan, but that it would be the seed of a woman, that there would be that offspring produced without the aid of a man, that this was going to be a God idea, that this was going to be divinely inspired by the Holy Ghost. Now, I know you and I are living thousands of years later, but would you travel back with me to the very beginning of this earth's creation and realize that in the darkest days this world has ever known, that God shouted out from the voice of heaven that I have a plan of redemption, that I have from the very foundation of the world a lamb slain. You say, why the importance of this verse? Well, Isaiah concurred in Isaiah 7 and 14 in the text that we read, when he wrote in 742 BC that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You say, why the importance of that? I'll tell you why. Because of the some billions of people that have ever lived on God's planet earth, there has only been one man. There has only been one man that was produced through the conception and the power of the Spirit of God, and it was our Redeemer. I said it was our Savior. If Christ would have just been the natural offspring of Joseph and Mary, then he himself would have been a sinner. He himself would have need of redemption. For in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, the Bible tells us that because sin entered into this world, that death has passed upon all men. Because of the act of Adam, because of the act of Eve, we know death entered the world. That up to that point, there had been no dying. mind. Up to that point, there had been no suffering. But Paul said, as by one man sinned into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all that have sinned. That if Christ just would have been the natural offspring of Adam and Mary, friend, he would have been a man just like you or I. He would have been a man that was born in sin, and he needed to be saved. He would not have been qualified to be the redeemer of all mankind. But because the scripture is fulfilled, amen, Paul said in Romans 8:3 again, that God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Notice that, friend. Amen. In the likeness of sinful flesh. Yes, oh yes. Isaiah 9 said that unto us what a child was born, but a son was given. Notice the two natures of Jesus Christ. Can I preach to you this morning? Amen. As was alluded to earlier, that Mary and Joseph, when they placed that babe in the manger, he was the Son of God. Yes, that was Mary's son, born of Mary. He was the Son of Man. But can I preach to you, that was not his beginning. That was the beginning of his humanity, but it was not the beginning of his deity. Oh yes, in the sacred precincts of eternity existed God co-eternally, co-existently, and co-equally. It was the Father, it was the Son, and it was the Holy Ghost. That in the beginning, John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. I'm glad everyone this month celebrate the arrival of the babe of Bethlehem. But I must on this first morning remind you of the fact that there was not just the beginning, but that was the beginning of Jesus' earthly life. Amen. But friend, he had been deity in eons past. I said he never had a beginning. On his mother's side, yes, he was born of a lowly peasant by the name of Mary. On his mother's side, yes, he was born of a teenage girl conceived by the Spirit of God. But on his daddy's side, I said on his father's side, he had no beginning. Oh, can you help me preach this morning? Amen. This world tries to bring him down so low that he's nothing more than a teacher, that he was nothing more than a scholar, that he was nothing more than just a religious leader who developed a following of a few religious sects, and they upset the world for a few years in the first century, that he was nothing more than Buddha, that he was nothing more than Muhammad, that he was nothing more than Hare Krishna, that he was nothing more than Joseph Smith. He just founded a religion. Let me preach to you this morning from God's holy word, that all in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I said the Word was God. What Word was John talking about? Well, he said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was talking about Jesus Christ. Amen, friend. Can I preach to you this morning that our Messiah, that the Savior of my soul, that in eons past, in, well, yes, this earth had a beginning, but when time had no beginning, and before time ever existed, and before the foundations of the world, I said there was a second member of the Godhead, and his name was Christ. I said he was the Son of God. And on Easter, on Christmas morning, when God sent his Son into this world, he had always been the Son of God, but he became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. I want to exalt him today. I said I want to lift him high and lift him holy, and I want to magnify the name of the Lord. I want this world to understand it's not a doctrine to be ashamed of. It's not a doctrine that should be minimized, but it is a doctrine
doctrine that ought to be heralded. It's a doctrine that ought to be exalted, that Christ Jesus was born of a virgin conceived by the Spirit of God. It was not fallen Adamic blood in his veins, but it was the blood of an eternal Father. I said it was sinless blood. It was spotless blood. It was blood that had not been tainted by fallen man. And so when he shed his blood on Calvary, it was qualified to redeem you and I. He was unique. He was unique in his origin. He gave the commands to Mary and Joseph. The word of God records in Luke chapter number 1. He gives an eyewitness account to Mary that is going to tell her what is going to happen. Think about this sanctified young lady, this teenaged girl that is espoused to be married to the one she loves, but she's living so close to God. One day in prayer, beginning in the 26th verse of Luke chapter number 1, the story unfolds as this.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel said unto, and an angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God."
God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He was unique in his origin. Mary received that word of God, but God also had to give confirmation to Joseph. We find that in Matthew chapter number 1. The word of the Lord continues.
"Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins.' Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of by of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which being interpreted is 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus."
Amen. What's his name? Ah, oh, say it like you mean it. What's his name? Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Joseph and Mary realized that this was God's idea, that blessed babe that they wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid a manger, he was not only the Son of Man, but he was the Son of God, that he was unique in his origin. But in my text today, the Bible said that there is coming one that is going to have his heel bruised, and he is going to bruise the head of the serpent, which number number two, it lends me to the idea that he was unparalleled in his occupation. Amen. There is one reason why Jesus came to this world. Amen. You and I must wrap our minds around this right now. There's only one reason why he came. He did not come to preach flowery sermons, although he preached as never a man had ever preached. He did not come just to feed the multitudes with the little boy's lunch. He came for more than just to open deaf ears and open the blinded eyes. Although he did all of that, he did much more. Matter of fact, John said the world could not contain the volumes that are written of the miracles that he did. But from Genesis 3 and 15 marching down to Calvary, there's only one reason why God sent his son into this world. It was not to be adorned by the angels. It was not to be flattered by the accolades of men. But there was one thing. He had to have his heel bruised. He had to suffer a horrendous death. Mary and Joseph, with that babe wrapped in their arms, God sent that boy to die. God sent that son as a ransom to be testified in due time. He was going to grow up and be criticized. His brothers would not understand him. His family at first would not even receive him. He was going to be ridiculed. They made fun of his birth. They said he was an illegitimate child. They said that Joseph was lying. It was a concocted story. He was born illegitimate. He was ridiculed as being a carpenter's son, just a lowly Nazarene. How could he ever be the king of all kings when he was born to peasants, that he had no place to lay his head? But your Bible said that he went about doing good everywhere that he went. He was ostracized. He was forsaken. He was beaten and he was bloodied. But there was one reason. He had his eyes set upon a little Calvary's hill. He had his eyes set upon Jerusalem. He understood that in the sacred counsels of God, that God needed a lamb slain. They looked in heaven. They did not find one worthy. They looked in the earth, and there was not one worthy. They looked under the earth, and no one worthy. Men of all nations, men of all creeds and tongues, billions of people, they searched high and searched low, but they could not find one worthy. And John began to weep that there was not one to prevail. But John heard a voice from heaven that said, "Weep not, John. There is one that hath prevailed. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Can I preach to you this morning? He had his heel bruised. I said he was beaten. He was bloodied and put in a borrowed tomb. It was not an accident. It was not a defeat. It was the plan of God. That's why on Easter morning, when the sun woke up the earth went into convulsions. The dead started shaking, and the life entered back into the Son of God, and he rose up and said, "I am he that was dead, am and alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and to hell." At that moment, I said he overthrew the kingdom of Satan. I said he overthrew. Satan had ruled, but thank God for Christ Jesus. I said thank God for the Savior. Thank God for the Messiah. Thank God for a deliverer that has come to save his people from their sins. He is unique in his occupation. The devil trying to stop him, but the devil could not stop him. And when they took his body down off the cross, if hell thought there for a moment that he had won, he misunderstood the plan of God, that a seed cannot bring forth life unless it dies. And when Christ died upon Calvary, life began to spring up from the depth of that little blessed babe. I said he is unparalleled in his occupation. I said I preach preach today because I've been set free. I preach liberated. I preach delivered by the Son of God. No wonder the songwriter said, never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like the Son of God. Kings have come and gone. Nations have risen and fallen. But Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I preach to you this morning? Genesis 3 said that he's going to overthrow Satan. He's going to overthrow. But the life of Jesus really was in two acts. We've only seen the first act. I said the play's not over yet. I said the drama's not over yet. The devil's still loose. I said the devil's still causing confusion. But one day very soon, the trumpet of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain are going to call up in the air to be with the Lord. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take the devil. He's going to take the old dragon. He's going to take the accuser of the brethren. He's going to bind him up. He's going to cast him into a lake of fire and then into hell. I said, my friend, he is going to bruise. He's going to overthrow the kingdom of Satan. Hallelujah. You and I are on the winning side. Iran, Iraq, North Korea, Russia, they all may want to rule the world. I got news. There's only going to be one that rules this world. One day every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. You may never come to an altar, sir, and bow your knee in prayer and submit to God and accept Christ as your Savior. You may never do that. But sir, you will bow your knee one day, whether in submission to receive salvation or standing before him in judgment. But every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. I'm glad I know who he is this morning. I said, I'm glad I know who he is this morning. And in my text, something happens, which leads me to the third point, that he is universal in his offering. As far as I can tell, blood has never been shed here by God. But notice at the end of this story, the Lord God makes coats of skins and clothed them. God comes down and he begins to slay animals. Blood begins to be shed because of the price of their sin. And from those slain animals, skins are sewn together to make coverings. Can I tell you that was only a foreshadowing of the price that was going to be paid on Calvary for me and for you when Christ shed his blood, when they pierced him with a sword and crowned him with a plate of thorns? That blood dripped down, and from that horrendous sight, God took that robe of righteousness and robed us today, that our sins are covered, forgiven, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hear me today, regardless of anything you may have done, let me preach to you that he is universal in his offering. For he said, whosoever will, whoso, red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, whosoever, whether you're in Savannah, Georgia, or that email I read earlier from Ghana, West Africa, what's the way to be saved? There's no way to the Father but by Jesus Christ. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I said it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. You want to be saved today? You don't have to list your sins before God or me, but you've simply got to say, Lord, save me. Lord, wash me in the blood of Jesus. Anybody in this building know about the blood of Jesus Christ? I said, anybody glad to be washed? I said, anybody glad to be redeemed? Lift your hands. I said, lift your hands and give God praise. Why don't we just go one step further? Why don't we stand to our feet and say, thank God, thank God, thank God. I thank God for the coming Messiah. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the blood that was shed in my place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, there is one that is coming. So down through the Old Testament, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Well, I'm glad I know him, aren't you? I said, I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I'm going to see him again. I said, I'm glad I've seen him by faith. One day I'll see him face to face. I said, John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know this, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Anybody looking forward to seeing Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for this crowd. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Hallelujah. Meet us around this altar. I said, Lord, meet us around this altar. Hallelujah. Let somebody celebrate the fact. Lord, you came to overthrow the kingdom of Satan. Lord, you came to overthrow the kingdom of Satan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, if you're here today and you're not a child of God, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ died to save you. That's why he came. You say Christmas is the gift of life. Absolutely. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave, he gave, he gave. Hallelujah. And Christ came not to just to do miracles, although he did those. Not to preach and to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He came for one reason: to destroy the works of Satan. And if you don't know him today, I say receive him. Receive him. Receive him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, can we gather in around this altar this morning? If you're visiting with us, you're welcome to join us. You're welcome to make a pew.